This is HPR episode 2846 entitled HPR Community News for June 2019 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 56 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in June 2019.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio Community News for June 2019, the show where we talk about the shows in the previous month and all the stuff that's been going on behind the scenes here at HPR Towers. And joining me this evening is...
Hi, it's Dave Morris.
And the other two quitters have decided not to join us. probably because... It is 31 degrees. I don't know what that will be in Fahrenheit. 31 degrees Celsius here at the minute. And Jeroen is probably sitting outside having a beer. And it's even worse in Paris at the minute. So, in France. So, although Yannick is up in Switzerland. So,
Yeah. So you'd think it'd be fairly cool where he is, but there you go.
Excellent. Anyway, for those of you joining for the first time, HPR is a community podcast network where the shows are contributed by listeners exactly like you. And if you think that means exactly like you, I mean, yes, you should be contributing shows. And this show was put on so that we as community members could give some positive feedback on the shows. And so shall we do that, Dave? But before we do, can you introduce the new hosts?
Yes, we have a new host this month, which is pretty good. I'm very, very happy. Shannon Wright is our new host, and we'll be hearing from him shortly.
Excellent. So, first of all, let's go through the shows, then we will go through the mailing list discussions, anything that's on LWN's calendar, and any other business that there is. So the first show last month turned out to be the Community News Show. And there was no comments.
There was nobody, and there were nobody commenting.
No, we said nothing. That's because you weren't there. You're always the one with all the controversial stuff. Yeah,
I was sitting here effing and blinding away, and nobody could hear me.
Yeah. So obviously we made no impact whatsoever. Dave's not on. Right, next show. So, unscripted ramblings from my garage about my first CTF event. So this was Christopher M. Hobbs, who is a security expert, and describing all the cool stuff that he was going to bring to this event, which unfortunately didn't go on. He says himself in the comments, event cancellation. Sadly, this event was cancelled before the show aired. There was seriously flooding in the area. Luckily, everybody was safe. That's good to hear. But wow, have you seen some of the kit that was in this?
Yeah, it's quite impressive what it was going to consist of, the whole thing. Yeah, bit nerve-wracking, really.
Remind me never, ever, ever to take any equipment from Christopher. So.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you go in there yourself, you make sure everything you have is well protected. We don't bring it, basically.
Yeah, like some USB dongles that you think, hey, this is just an Ethernet to USB adapter, and it's a keylogger, USB keylogger. Just very, very scary stuff all around. Hold on 1 second, and I need to do something about the ventilation here. Truncate silence will do its thing. Okay, 4 hours later, we're back.
Yes, you went off to get some glass here ice from Switzerland and brought it back.
Okay, so where were we? On to the, were the comments on that episode?
There was one comment from Chrisser himself. He said, event cancellation. I think you read this, didn't you? There's serious flooding in the area, etc. And then I'll do Tuturto as well, who said, sorry to hear about cancellation. Sorry to hear the event got cancelled. It sounded really exciting. When you, in the beginning, were talking about capture the flag, I was under the impression that it would be the kids' game where you're trying to steal the flag from the opposing team. Only after you started talking about lockpicks and hacking, it dawned to me what kind of capture the flag you were talking about here. Super interesting episode. I hope you can eventually make one about an actual event, different one than cancelled, of course.
And Dave, the shopping's just arrived, so can you give me 2 minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. And he's back, 3 hours later.
There's a lot of shopping.
So much for horsing through the episodes today. Yes, so Unscripted Rambling, pretty cool. Pity it didn't go ahead, but it was very interesting to see what he had.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to hear the gory details next time, hopefully.
So the following day, we had writing a web game in Haskell Science, part 2. And this was, yeah, I was, okay, it was technical about Haskell, but it was also an interesting approach to how you would write a game. His calculating research and all that, I thought that was a, took me a while to figure out what he was doing, but it kind of is an intriguing angle on gameplay, I guess.
Yeah. I have only a very vague concept of what this game is going to be like once it's finished. But it's gradually, I think, getting clearer. But yeah, it's going to be quite something, I think.
He definitely has a plan, and he's bringing in a lot more stuff to making a game than I would have imagined necessary.
Oh, he's not messing about.
That's for sure.
This is a real game, this.
So there was no comments on that one. Then the following day, we had the discussion about the fair use clips on HPR using text-to-speech. And Joel D. said, fair use. Ken makes a point when he says, well, the host may be correct. If they are not, then it is me. Oh, actually, do you want to read this? Because then I'll read my own reply.
Yeah, okay. So Ken makes a key point when he says, while the host may be correct, if they are not, then it's me and not the host that will be held responsible for posting it. I don't want that responsibility. My two questions are, one, what exactly is the nature of the two remaining clips whose inclusion is problematic? And two, what would being held responsible mean in practical terms? On the first point, how long are the clips and what are they of? Music, broadcast footage, do the clips comprise the entire original work or do they amount to a minor quotation? In the US, fair use is an actual legal limitation of creators' rights under copyright law. The US also has the DMCA, which effectively allows providers to host anything, and if a copyright holder has a problem with their stuff being included somewhere, they can file a takedown notice and the provider handles it by simply removing the content in question. But this is not the case in other countries, particularly the EU. There has been a lot of, shall we say, new development in this area recently. If the answer to one is the two clips are actually entire Beatles songs, then there isn't really a legal defense, no matter what jurisdiction we're talking about. But even if the answer to one is they are 15-second excerpts from an hour-long lecture given at a public university, the answer to two is we don't, can't know, so we're acting out of an abundance of caution, then I can respect that.
Then I replied, we don't know. In to answer one, we don't know the nature of it, nor should we. This is HPR, and any host can post whatever they wish without checking with us. If they don't tell us it contains copyrighted material, we would never know. And number two, I don't want to find out, which is the ramifications. I'd also like to say, this is me not in the comments, this is me just talking out loud, is that the DMCA would not apply here because we knowingly posted copyrighted material. That was the problem. So if somebody posts copyrighted material and somebody finds out and somebody has a problem with it and somebody posts a DMCA notice, we'll just take it down because there's a mechanism in place to do that. And if somebody has a problem with that, then we're more than likely going to have powerful allies who it would be in their interest not to have a precedent set in this area. So we could rely on help from, I don't know, Google, Facebook, and those type of people, because, you know, they would, it would be in their interest to support this. In this case, the commenter, the poster, told us they were putting copyrighted material in there. So therefore, we had no other option but to say, here are rules, do not include it. That's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's a horrible situation, really.
I mean, it got sorted out okay, because the host didn't have a problem with it and they just linked to it otherwise. And I think other people may or may not have put copyrighted material in. And if we get DMC takedowns on those shows, then we will take those shows down, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because it was done in innocence.
Yeah, because we're not editing the shows in any way. We're not listening to them beforehand, except to check for spam. And, you know, didn't know anything about it. It's a free open platform, just like people put stuff on Facebook, people put stuff on YouTube. And they say, don't put copyrighted material up. And when they find out, when people makes them aware that there's copyrighted material, they take it down. Yeah, so This wasn't about that. It wasn't about the DMCA. It was about the fact that we are knowingly posting copyrighted material on the website, which is not. And then the question is it covered by fair use? And then fair use, depending on the jurisdiction, is or isn't a concept. So, yeah. And basically, our policy says no. You're supposed to have. Here, I'll read the policy. Hold on. Never include content, for example, music, and it's only in an example music. Every part of your show, between the end of the intro and the beginning of the outro, is your show. It's your responsibility. You put whatever you in there. We're not going to listen to it, but this is what we're telling you to do. Never include content. So it might be speech. It might be cover art. It might be a copied video. It might be, well, I mean, we're a podcast, so it's audio. In your show that you do not have permission to redistribute, try to avoid using any content in your show that is not redistributed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 imported license. If you're redistributing under another Creative Commons license or by arranged permission, please make note of that restriction when we upload your show. We can then signal that so that others who redistribute HPR content can filter that show out. So that is it. And then underneath that, we say, we do not vet, moderate, or censor any shows on our network. We trust you to do that. Aside from checking snippets for audio quality and spam, we have a policy that we don't listen to the shows before they're aired. This is a long-standing tradition arising from the fact that HPR is a community of peers who believe that any host has as much right to submit shows as any others. And that just so happens to help us, because under the things of the DMCA, if you're not aware the content has been posted on your platform, then you can't help, you won't be held responsible for it. And there's a lot of good business reasons not for people not to do that. The end.
Okay,
so next one. The New Year's Eve show in the middle of summer. Honky had a job to
jump backwards in time.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear the topics of discussion at that particular period of time.
Yeah, I must say, I really like this. I've been enjoying all of these. And I will freely admit that I have been a little bit bored in previous years, but not this one. This year is really, really interesting, I think.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Even Brexit got a mention.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
So Folky says, Plumble is better than I thought. Who would have thought that Plumble would give my voice in such a good quality? Not to forget, over 4G in a train going at 180 kilometers per hour, if I remember right. Next thing, I should record the show live on my Nexus 6 over Plumble on the train instead of my living room with a fan right above my head. Smiley face.
And the next comment was, he was simply pointing out that there's a mistake in the notes, that there's a missing percent sign. There was an example of how to use the date command. And I answered that having fixed the error. So point in saying any more about that, I think.
Okay, cool. The next show was an interview with Robbie Ferguson, where Yannick puts together a professional interview. And this was a nice one. Not only was it done well, but it also was an interesting topic, using Nachios Enterprise Monitoring on a Raspberry Pi, among other boards. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to this one. It was really, really, I didn't know there was such a thing. I think there was some issue with the notes originally, and I queried them from Yannick and had to dig around a little bit at that point to see exactly what this was. And it was, and in doing so, I thought, wow, this is really cool. I'm looking forward to this show. And it didn't disappoint. It was really nicely done.
And Beezy had a comment, just what I was looking for. I have tried Nachios Pi and came to the same conclusion as Robbie. This looks like it would be a great alternative. I will definitely be contributing and recommending this software. Thanks to Robbie for the great project and to Yannick for the fantastic episode. So right there, Dave, of interest to hackers?
Absolutely, absolutely. I just got a new Pi, and I was just thinking that would be
Are you
a fantastic
gonna tell
thing
me
to put
that you got a four a Pi 4x4? Dave,
funny
I'm
you should
so
say that.
Jealous of you.
I did. Yeah. I went looking. They came out. You told me that they were out, and I hadn't even noticed. And
yes, but
I
was at
looking.
Work, so I couldn't go like on the thingy and start ordering them.
There was none there. So I clicked the link that said notify me when they arrive, and I got a message within half an hour. So I was able to place that order. So somebody must have returned a
You will now
cancelled an
shut
order.
Up talking about it, and you will record a show.
Yes, I'll have to. Yeah. Anyway,
I am particularly looking forward to how it's speed wise. How's the UI? Is it usable surfing? How's YouTube work? That sort of stuff.
Yep. I will. It's going to be a server in my house, so I'm going to play around with it along the way.
Yeah. Try out all the default apps, you know, the general unboxing, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. Cool. How I Got Started with Linux by Shannon Wright. I can't help but feel that we know Shannon from somewhere before. Has he been on the New Year show before, perhaps? But anyway, either way.
Has he sent comments in, perhaps? Name come up there? Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, this is an excellent introduction, how we got into Linux, basically running servers, tried it out at home, etc., etc. So, good show, and very nice introduction. 5 minutes, boom, you're on there. How difficult is it? The rest of you guys who have not sent in a show and been listening to HPR, hi, I'm Shannon Wright, this is how I got into Linux, have a nice day, bye. Nice, quick episode. And NY Build says, Welcome aboard, man. Part of the crew now, smiley face. There you go. Couldn't be simpler.
Yeah. All good stuff.
And Jeroen chats with Jop Piskare. How would you pronounce that, Dave?
You're the guy in Europe. I'm not in Europe.
Piskare. Jop is a Dutch one. Fine, I get that.
Yeah. There's a sort of on the end of his second name I heard.
Yeah, I completely disagree with these multicultural type names, for people. So see,
should be numeric. Yeah.
Integers, yeah, plus one. No, this was interesting. It should actually be filed under the interviews, but also under mental health, fear of failure, and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, good. The event looked fantastic. I was looking at the website. And there were some excellent talks there. I went looking at another one and also looked at the details of this one. And very, very good, excellent stuff. And it's such an amazingly common thing, this imposter syndrome business. It's extraordinarily common. And so, yeah, it's an excellent subject.
Ahuka says, great show. I really enjoy this interview. Imposter syndrome is something I think we all deal with at some time or other, and he has had a good things to say on the subject. Please keep interviewing interesting people like this. There you go, Yuri. And Christopher M. Hobbs on wasting shows, Dave. Wasting shows. Have you seen that?
500 shows there.
Yeah. Every single one of these would have been in a show by itself, but fine. At least you could have split it up into my favorite desktop applications and tune in tomorrow for my favorite Android applications. However, all that aside, it was a quite nice little selection of stuff here. And you can see actually a lot about the type of application that scratches his particular itch.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting insight, isn't it?
And, yeah, very much.
And some of the descriptions I thought, ooh, must check that one out, and did. And some good pointers there.
I checked out his alternative to the as a firewall on Android, and I'm actually thinking of giving that a go on some of the kids' phones, and we'll see how it does there. So, yeah, mm-hmm. That gets yep. the has been useful to hackers badge.
Certainly.
If such a thing existed. And then we had the second part of the New Year show, covering such items as crappy keyboards and Pine 64 laptops, Serenity Babylon 5, Hoy Channel, Mintcast. Yeah, the Mintcast was getting heavy plugging throughout, as was the barbecue ISP that he has, tasty bacon, smoky bacon ISP.
Yeah, I think it's a bit overdone though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sponsoring blazing, the show at this age. Blazing Hog, that's the one. Blazing the Hog ISP. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sponsoring the show. But that happens, you know, when you come on and you're talking to different people. But the eavesdroppers are the same.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's interesting. It not still not solved 5150's problems. It seems moved him forward a wee bit. Perhaps.
Yeah. And Yannick did another interview with Wendy Hill this time, who's a open source photographer who uses open source software in her job, and her stuff is pretty cool actually. It's worth browsing her site.
Yes, I just had a quick look, but I found she was talking about Darktable, and I thought I'd like to go and have a look at that to tweak photos and that sort of thing. And that is very cool, actually. I really must learn more about it. But yeah, good hint.
A few shows about that would be absolutely excellent. Mm. I was also interested in the rapid photo downloader thing, because I've written a script. Because there's one thing that I do not mess with is my photos. I file all my photos from everything based on year, month, date, with a year, then a month folder, and then a year, month, date, name, and they're all in there. So this seems to do the same thing.
We've been having family evenings of late looking at photos because my son and his girlfriend and my daughter and her friend went to Japan for 3 weeks, and they all had cameras of various sorts. Uh-huh. And so trying to coordinate all the SD cards and everything, and make sure they all had the right dates and times, and they didn't, and get them all managed together so you can see, well, here's my picture of when we went to up Mount Fuji, and here's my picture of when we went to Fuji, etc. There's an enormous problem.
There's a tool called and it's a command line tool that I had exactly the same thing with christening or something, or a wedding of all my brothers, and we all had different photos, and I got the SD cards from each of them. And if you put them into a different directory and you point at three different, you know, each directory you point at the same photo and you say this photo was taken at the same time in all three, it'll go in and correct the metadata for that photo in all the directories and apply the same offset to all the photos in each individual directly. It's absolutely superb.
Yes. That's very good.
I'm not sure. I think it's EXF2 will do it.
Yeah. Okay. My son was using the Windows laptop, but we'll draw a veil over that.
Well, you could copy them over to onto your laptop and there it is.
Yes.
We have this technology now.
These hundreds and hundreds. Yeah. They were taking multiple 64 gig SD cards of them.
Yeah, buy an external you're a retired pensioner with a good pension from a university, dude. Remember 1 terabyte external disk drive? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm so poor.
We get Yeah, I played that one too much now, I think. No, but we're working on it. But yeah, it's just an interesting problem.
Yes, and no, it is.
It's quite amusing. Why is your picture in the wrong day? And is it the wrong? We were there at this time, and all sorts of arguments like that.
So long as they're all consistently wrong, then you can adjust it quite easy.
Yeah. It's not a big problem, but it is an irritation.
Indeed. Parallax in live desktops in Android. Didn't even know this was a thing that you could do, but it actually sounded pretty cool.
Yeah. I was sort of floundering a little bit because I'm not much of an Android user. So, but yes, there's a fair bit to learn there, as far as I'm concerned.
I think this struck me as like that Disney effect where Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, where the background moves slower than the foreground, and then the trees move slower, and then the deer walks across, so that you have the feeling of dimensions. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
trying to figure out how that would be practically useful. Anyway, do you want to do the?
Yes, Norris says, I like this kind of episode. I like the episodes where the host wanders through a few short topics. It reminds me of the old Dave Yates Lot of Linux Links podcasts. Yes, I agree.
Yes, and we could do with more of those. Could do with hearing back from Dave again.
Yeah.
Why Haskell? Good question. Turo tries to answer B's question about why you would want to use Haskell. And he is using Haskell for 30 years. So the question was, I've been writing software for 30 years, but I find the syntax of Haskell anything but enthusiastic. In fact, intuitive. It's a show, but I'd like to produce... Why Haskell? Yeah. And then Turo Doto continues on to describe it. One of the interesting things, and I saw this on Computerphile, was where they used Haskell can deal with infinite arrays or infinite
lists
and that's that the word, type of
things. Yeah. The concept is an interesting one, isn't it? So the point that you can declare such a thing or you can offer such a thing to it, but if you ever say, right, go and get me that list or go through it, enumerate it, add one to every element, then you're going to regret it. But the concept is there.
Yeah, no, but they were able to make use of that by the fact that Haskell wouldn't have a problem. It will start and start producing the numbers for you and churn through it, even though it's an infinite list, whereas other programming languages fail first because it's an infinite list.
Yes. It is a different philosophy, isn't it? It's very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say that I was very pleased that Turturto has done that episode because it's an important element of what he's doing in regard to Haskell.
Very much, yeah.
Because it is a very, very strange language if you come to from sort of older world, which I have, and I imagine Beza has as well.
Yeah.
30 years of experience of it. And so it really needs a lot of introduction and quite a lot of selling, I think, because I think there's a lot that we could learn from this. So that was an excellent start, I thought.
Cool. So the following day, we had an example episode of the Distro Hopper's Guide, which can be done under HBR policies. We don't syndicate shows, but you can submit a new show to us, provided it's Creative Commons licensed, etc., etc. There was a lot of discussion about this. The first one was from Mike Ray, saying accessibility. Another Linux distro reviewing podcast in which the word accessibility was uttered exactly zero times. Two distros were reviewed, Linux Mint, Debian Edition, and Solus. If that's how you spell it, the podcast was 39 minutes approximately in length, so assuming each distro had an equal share of time, then how much impact would it have been to spend 30 seconds for each talking about accessibility? I want to know two things anyways. One, is the installer accessible, which means can a blind person like me, not visually impaired, blind, install it without sighted help? Is there a hotkey which starts Orca screen reader or speak up if there's a text-based installer? If I choose speech for install, assuming number one is true, then when I reboot, will it come up speaking? Note that I will not accept any Linux distro which I cannot install alone. None of you would entertain any distro for which you had to run to a blind person for help installing. Please spend some time adding accessibility to your headlines. Otherwise, the podcast is worse than useless to me and people like me. So tell us how you really feel, Mike.
Well, yes. Having heard Mike commenting on these sorts of things and giving plaudits and criticisms where they're due, I think obviously this touched a nerve, but I think he has a point. Not as a criticism of the guys who are doing the thing, but just the whole process of making sure that distros do consider these things in some way, you know?
It's... Yep.
Anyway, that's me. Bob says, reply to Mike. I also listened to the podcast, and not once did they mention the distro support for non-Latin characters. Given the amount of people outside the English-speaking world, surely they could taken some time to check Chinese support, Arabic and Russian and Greek, etc. They made no bones about the fact they're reviewing the distros from their point of view only. Moss mentions using some proprietary Office suite that I'm sure the majority of HBR listeners are not using. But are these gentlemen even the best people to include accessibility in their reviews? I don't think either of them have a need of or have any experience using accessibility tools. Would we even be able to trust their assessment given that their inability to use them could simply be down to not knowing which key to use to enable support? Would they even know how to check that the speech synthesizer is legible when sped up? I would suggest it would be better done by someone who will not accept any Linux distro which I cannot install alone. So why don't you contact the lads and ask them if they would be interested in having you join the show to review a distro entirely from an accessibility point of view? If they're not, I'm sure there would be an audience here on HBR that would love to hear it.
And Mike replied, accessibility and non-English character sets. I don't think stuff about non-English character sets is very relevant here, since internationalization is part of the standard Linux base available in all distros. Perhaps whether language can be selected at install time is relevant, but since Tony, I think, mentioned that UK is Ukraine and not GB, or was in another podcast, these installers are both likely to include localization. I can't commit to joining anybody on a podcast, but would offer a goodly amount of guidance as to what we, meaning blind people, need to know. Of course, VI is just one access aspect of accessibility. Consider also people with limited or impartial fine motor control, missing hands, etc. At the very least, I would like to know one thing immediately with every distro. Can the install be done alone? IOW? In other words, with no help from light slave. If no, the answer is no, not interested. Windows 10 can be installed by me, thanks to Narrator now being an excellent screen reader. But then accessibility on Windows leaves Linux dead. Just one of the ways in which Windows, iOS, macOS are all superior.
Yes. Hearing that read makes it even more punchy. So Tony Hughes says, response to Mike and Bob. Mike, you make a very valid point, and we will bear accessibility issues in mind for future episodes. Unfortunately, not in time for this month, as we had recorded on the Wednesday before HPR aired our first episode. While I've not had much experience in installing voice-guided installer, using a voice-guided installer, it's worth looking for any new reviews in the future. I missed a bit at this, perhaps you missed. Anyway, Bob, as Mike says, most modern distributions have very good support for other languages, and in episode 3, when talking about PC Linux OS, I mentioned the fact that the community forums have an international section which has a number of the most common languages covered. Although I didn't mention the number of languages supported at install, again worth a few seconds it would take to mention this at the install stage of the review. It's this kind of feedback that's valuable, as a new podcaster is still in our infancy and learning what the community would find useful in this kind of show. Thanks again for the feedback, Tony Hughes. So Bob says, do you want me to do
it? No, I can do it. Okay. Hi, Tony. I wasn't serious about trying all the languages. I was trying to highlight to Mike that it is impossible to cover every aspect of a distro, and all you can cover is your own area of expertise.
Excellent. So Mike says, accessibility. I understand that not every aspect of Linux distro review can be covered, but accessibility is pretty fundamental, and all the time podcasts and developers ignore it. It will never get any better. As I suggested, the podcast I heard was 39 minutes long and reviewed two distros. So that's approximately 19 minutes for each. 30 seconds out of those 19 minutes just answered my single question. I can install it alone, or is there an SSH server running when any live DVD or CD is booted? Then I would be able to either immediately dismiss the distro or give it more attention. Some distros are fundamentally bad. For example, Regolith Linux uses the i3 window manager, which is a dead loss for accessibility. Some distros are a disgrace, like the interview Ken gave with the lead developer of Mint a couple of years ago, when the dev declared, "We're not interested in accessibility." It just take 30 seconds or so to answer. What's that? A11Y fund?
I think it's a shorthand for accessibility.
Oh, okay. I've seen that before. It's very annoying when so many distros are Debian or Ubuntu derivatives, but have stripped out the speech from the installer. Wow.
Oh, that's not good.
No, absolutely.
Tony says, in response to Mike and Bob, thanks for both of your feedback. Bob, I figured you didn't expect a full rundown of all the languages, but a few quick seconds to mention language other than English are listed or not useful in a review. Likewise, Mike, I appreciate your needs. And a quick note to say, if the distro is friendly to those with sight impairment, would assist many in the community. Actually, revisiting the last episode on PC Linux OS, I was not able to work out how to enable voice-assisted install on this OS, and likewise on a couple of others I tried in a VM. So mentioning this as the start of the review wouldn't take long. And that's the comments for that show. However, that actually does highlight a point, far be it from me to, it would actually be good to hear Mike's, Mike reviewing some Linux distros. We take this distro, we put it in, silence.
Yeah. You know, it's worse than maybe it has been in the past, isn't it? I don't know. We've certainly, this subject has been looked at to some extent in the past on HBR.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that there was a trend towards improving this sort of area, but seems not, which is very disappointing.
Well, I think it's a good idea if Mike gets in touch with the guys and gives them the basic information necessary to do these checks, and that's something that they can check with the distros. And then failing that, if it doesn't work, then it's these podcasts are being released reviewing these distros, and this is a negative of the distro, and it's been fed back to the distro maintainers, who obviously will take note of it.
Yep. Good point.
Excellent. And file bugs. Okay, the following day, let's horse through these, because it's now a blazing 28.8 degrees inside.
It's cooling down here. I'm sorry to tell you. bucketing down with rain.
It's fine. I'm going to grab a beer after this and go out to the pool, to the inflatable pool, just in case somebody thinks I'm rich enough to actually have a pool. Anywho, New Year's show, steam-powered show, good old games, Humble Bungle, Gods of War, The Witcher, Gods of Tunisia, The Mintcast, again, free advertising, FreeDOS, Compact Flash, RTL, SDR, cigarettes, taxing, alcohol, old speckled hen beer, motorcycles, Harley Davidsons, and electric cars. That was a nice show as well, just to listen along.
Yeah, enjoyed listening. But I wasn't sure whether Thistleweb was going to join the show this year. Yeah, it was good to hear him. I met him a year or so back, and I thought he was sort of stopping doing that sort of thing, podcasting and stuff. But yeah, good to hear.
Yes, but it's like Seb appearing. It's or is it in this one that he appears? Mm-hmm.
Is he going back?
No spoilers.
I don't know. Yeah. I also met him at the last dog camp. We sat and chatted a long time, actually. He's quite interesting to talk to. You know, if you can, if he doesn't get too much on one subject.
Yeah.
We can all do this. I can do this as well. You know, it's not a criticism, but we had quite an interesting chat.
So the following day, How I Got Into Linux and Then Some, by CM Hobbs, and this was a very strange, you know, not typical that I had servers or whatever. This is somebody who actually more or less ran Linux or ran a Unix variant from day one, from the first computer. It's like pretty cool.
Yeah, what an interesting set of experiences and Christopher Hobbs has had, you know, the going off to Brazil for a year.
Thank you very much.
His way through using Linux and contacting home and so forth. That was a fascinating story. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, show about that, please. Yeah, actually, if you've done a year somewhere else and have gone back to your own society, show about observations, not necessarily positive or negative, but just, you know, differences on not only the cultures, technology of the country you visited and what that contributed when you came back to your own country, and how your point of view of your own country changed with those experiences. That would be interesting. Of interest to hackers, I believe, Dave, is the terminology.
Oh, I would say so. Well, this hacker for sure, I'd be interested.
And Tony updated his geek bag. For a start, I would say to Tony, you're going to break your back, dude, with all this kit in there. But I think bag is probably boot of car, to be honest.
I'm envisaging a sort of suitcase on wheels.
Or one of those in the cartoons, you know, where they got the rucksack and then they walk across the screen and the entire rucksack continues on and on and on.
Yeah. Something like that. Wow.
And
a lot of stuff.
It pains me to hear that his source of laptops has gone under. This is we should really have a moment's silence for that.
Yeah, I know. It's grim, isn't it? It's these sort of auction places are not as common as they used to.
What are you going to do, you know?
When I first moved to Edinburgh, there were lots of auction places in the centre of town where you could buy all manner of furniture. You know, it's a fascinating place. And quite cheap too, you know, if you're prepared to go and do the auction. And then they all vanished. A few of them have gone to the outskirts, but incredibly hard to find now. So, you know, it was all sort of house clearances and stuff like that.
So the next one was interesting because it's Turototo from Scandinavia or not?
He's Finnish, I think. Yeah.
Is he now? I would love
yes,
to know that.
So.
Yeah.
I think he's, when he first joined, he was talking about what he was doing. I think he works at a university in Finland, I think. That was the impression I got anyway. So
cool. Nothing good ever come out of universities in Finland.
Plenty of Haskell, that's good,
Says he running a Linux computer. Okay.
So yes, the game sounds quite cool. I'm not a tremendous board game fan, but that sounds like something I would have played as a kid and had a lot of fun with. It's finding the Koh-i-Noor, yeah?
That'd be Looking forward to Clatoo's review shortly. The following day, we had Mr. Copyright Enforcer himself, John Culp, playing with his Sony TC2222. I had never had so much enjoyment wasting time with somebody else doing something completely and totally pointless just to see if it could be done. It was absolutely enjoyable, this whole hacking session.
Oh, yeah. What a fun thing to do. I regret that I never did anything quite as cool as that when I was into tape recorders and things. But he's got two reel-to-reel machines now, so he can do that sort of thing.
So he basically sped up the music four times so that he could slow it down using tape recorders to see what the fidelity would be like, sped down to the right size on his on his tape recorders. It's well worth a listen. And he doesn't use any non-copyright. He uses music where the copyright has been released to the public. So no problems here. No DMCA takedowns for John.
No. It's a wonderful resource that. Was he who raised our awareness to this? I think he was mentioning this on social media or something, saying if you want to contribute towards this, then...
Yeah, exactly. I think I threw a few shekels that way.
Yeah, I certainly did. And it's nice to listen to. It's fantastic to listen to. It really is.
And if you're wanting to include some music in your show as samples of whatever, that is the pool that you pick from, because you know then we're not going to have any grief. Then you know there's going to be no problems. Following day was the New Year show episode 4, and Dave, I have to admit, because these are so long, I had to listen to them earlier than I normally would, so I'm way ahead of my HPR listening.
I was a bit scared. I reached today, and I always try and make sure I've listened to all the shows before the recording day, and I hadn't got to this one yet. But I listened to this morning while I was, you know, doing chores around the house. Wow, it's so entertaining. I really find these wonderful. Yeah. And the way that when Joe Ressington, who is a common, who joins every year, I think, or has done for quite a number of years now, and he had some really interesting things there. The discussions there were fascinating.
Yeah, and he was able to encourage people to talk, which was great.
Yes.
He's a full-time podcaster now, apparently.
Yes. He's quite a skillful interviewer, Joe. I think his abilities in that regard have probably developed a lot with his podcasting and stuff. So
and it would definitely suit the Juniper Broadcasting type core value, you know. Poke the stick.
Gently,
obviously. Okay, so that was the shows. That was. And there was one previous comment on our bash scripts local. And this is Clacky Show. And as it was your comment, you can give it.
I will do that. And yes, so this is Clacky talking about this subject of local variables and things. And I said I would have commented on the community news show, but I couldn't make it due to my audio being messed up. I really appreciated this episode because it made me realize I was a bit unclear about the issues. First language I learned was Algol 60 around 1970, and later used Pascal a lot. The Algol course was a biology undergraduate where they were trying to make us appreciate how we could use computers in our subject. This was way before bioinformatics, so we were mainly writing statistical stuff and learning how to plot results. Anyway, these languages exposed me to lexical scoping, as you mentioned, and I guess I haven't really reflected on the nuances of dynamic scoping since then. So thanks for the eye-opener.
Cool. Very good. And that was it. Was there anything in the mailing list? Let's go have a look. Nope, just the community news. Sometimes there are great big fights, and sometimes there's nothing.
Yeah, it's just the way.
Life's like a
busy
box of chocolates.
So, go on.
Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, we've got any other business, which is the advanced RSS thing, which is really you brought it up. Do you want to talk about
Yeah, we can do the calendar then later, I guess, Sissy. You know, you get annoyed with me if I jump over stuff, Dave. Okay, we have the option with the RSS feeds to download stuff. Normally when you subscribe to the feed is every day you get a new episode, but there's a field on the RSS feed that allows you to bypass that and downloads episodes in the future. One thing that we noticed was that since we moved to Internet Archive, don't know, 6 months or more ago.
So we were planning it in late 2017, so wow. Must have been round about then or early 2018.
Okay, but since then there's a bug that that basically that doesn't, like, you're going to get a 404 because we post them to the anonymoushosts.com site, the HPR website, before we post them to Internet Archive. So the question is, if nobody has been complaining about this or nobody noticed, is anybody using this functionality, or is this functionality that people don't use? Or do you just, if you want your episodes in the future, do you just go to the website and play them from there? So basically, do you want us to maintain this Go Max thing or not, is the question.
Should we repair it, I guess?
Yeah, but it's not so much about the repairing. It's because we do a redirect for incoming shows, and it would be non-trivial to fix, I think. Or we could say, okay, well, we're going to post to... when the show gets posted to Internet Archive, then we put it onto the HPR website. But that involves coordination, I think.
Yeah, because at the moment I just do a batch every Friday or Saturday, and so it doesn't intrude too much on my schedules and stuff. If it was every time a show got uploaded, it would get a little bit more complicated. I'm sure we could batch it similarly,
yeah.
But it would, personally, I would prefer not to, but if it was strongly required.
Could we do the media and then follow up with the... with an update after to the metadata, or how would that work? Well, that's the question. Do people want this ability in the RSS feed? Because it would just make the RSS feed a lot easier anyway, if it isn't. You can still get them from the website, but, you know, we're not doing complicated things.
They're not in the RSS, that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So we keep the RSS pretty basic so that we don't have any weird options in the RSS feed. You just go in, you get the shows, and that's it. And you can filter them yourself based on the flags that we have in there. And we don't put anything new in, which will help things if we're going to move to a static site. As we are moving to a static site, this has been one of the questions that we've had open. How do we support all these multiple combinations? Because you could have somebody limiting it to 30 and somebody limiting it to 12, and, you know, that means that we need to have a dynamic engine there when we could just put in the RSS feed that's just static. Just, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So
anyway,
I scrolled my page down a bit too fast, so I forgot the events calendar. But since we're on this one, shall I just mention the tags and summaries thing?
Fire ahead, Jess.
We had a contribution from Tony Hughes. Thank you very much, Tony. And we added 6 tags and summaries to shows in the past month.
Nice.
So thank you, Tony. That's most appreciated.
Coolio. So, community stuff, lwn.net. They have a calendar over there, and they graciously allowed us to pluck out some stuff. So we'll have a quick browse. And we've been doing this for the last 3 months, I think, so I want to know if people find that interesting or not. So Libra Graphics meeting is happening next Sunday. Texas Linux Fest is happening tomorrow, in actual fact, so too late for this. actually, Sunday. Libra Graphics will have already gone by the time you're on here. Samba XP is in Germany. Hong Kong Open Source Self is on the 14th. KubeCon, Cloud Native Con, and Open Source Summit in Shanghai, China is on the 24th. Academy Espanol is on the 28th. We have TechSpace, EuroPython Zen Summit, ATC19, no idea what that is. It's USENIX Annual Tech Conference in Renton, WA, USA, Washington, I'm assuming. EuroPython, seems to be a lot of Python stuff. OSCON, O'Reilly in Portland, Floss UK, OSS in Japan, Automotive Linux Summit in Japan, DevConf is on in Brazil. August, let me see, Flock, LCD, COSUP, GUADEC, that's the GNOME Users Developer Conference that's in Greece on the 23rd, Friday the 23rd. And the call for papers deadline, GNU Guile and GNU Days, Strasbourg in France, KVM Forums, Lyon in France, OpenSUSE Asia in Bali, Indonesia, ONS, Open Networking Summit, which will be Antwerp in Belgium, LISA 19, which will be Portland, Oregon, and there are LibreOffice Conference in Spain, Open Postgres in Florida, and PostgresConf in Johannesburg, South Africa. Cool. Is that it, Dave?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of information there. I see they do have OggCamp in October, which is quite cool.
Thank you. I put that there myself.
Well done.
So it's pretty cool. Insofar as it's actually 28.5 degrees, 29 degrees outside. So my intention now is to go have a cool beer while lying in the bath. Well, inflatable. Type thing.
Too much information.
There you go.
Yes. No, I sympathize. It's so cool and wet here. So anyway, so good. That's fine. We're done.
Any other news, Dave?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So looking forward to your Pi review, and join us tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public Radio. Join us now. Too hot.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.